The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics and More. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of David Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com and on iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at ShelleheadComics.com. Welcome my best friend and co-host, Dave Draper!
Yay!
We are back, gang, after a long weekend of toy-filled fun.
Super long weekend, but a good weekend.
Yes, but a good weekend. A weekend where Dave Draper called me dear.
Oh, we're going to start with that, are we? Which, as I said, everyone I love irritates me, so I'm just like getting to that. The context was he was messing with the radio, and I'm like,
okay, well,
like,
let's tell
dear,
the story.
You don't have to don't bother with that or whatever. Because I'm used to like these people in my life, mostly women.
Yes,
I love them very much.
Yes,
but they can be extremely irritating. and so I was just doing that thing.
I was trying to see what Prince song was playing. And I was trying to fix the XM satellite radio so it would tell us what Prince song was playing. Because we were like...
This is vital stuff when you're hurtling down the highway at 80 miles an hour.
Well, yeah. Dave said, don't bother with that deer. And he goes, I didn't just say that.
I didn't say that. The second thing I said is you're going to tell Carrie the minute we get home. And you're like, yep. And you did. And she did not care at all.
No, I thought she'd find it at least funny. But she was
she didn't care.
She was kind of like,
She's known. She's too close to it not to know the
that's
truth.
That's true.
The
horrible, God, horrible secret, sick truth.
Yeah, I was tired. Dude, I had a long, it was a very, very emotional, very draining weekend.
Yes.
I mean, I hate to say this. I probably shouldn't say this on the air. When we were sitting there at Buffalo Wild Wings, I almost started to cry.
Oh, David.
No, not in a bad way, though.
Right.
Like, in a good way, because, you know, everything had worked out, everything was okay, and all these people had come together to help me.
Yeah.
Have this, you know, you and Tracy Ann and Carrie had all kind of come together. You know, I mean, it really, really meant, you know, and the people that we met when we were there,
right.
The fans we met that were just, like, the greatest. It was all very, very emotional for me, because, you know, I was ready to call that thing off.
Oh yeah,
like an hour to go. I was an hour before we were supposed to hit the road. I was like gonna call it off because the dog had a problem.
She was coming
down with an ear infection, which apparently was not as bad. The doctor said because I almost lost my fingers making sure that dog's ear was clean.
Right.
He said that probably kept it from getting too bad.
Right.
He said it was just a mild thing, and you know we got the goop that we're putting in the ear, you know, for the next 10 days.
Yeah.
But he said it actually looked pretty good. He said everything looked really good. Which is. Jumping around in the story, but that was very... Because it wasn't her regular vet.
Right.
So he's looking at his dog like, are you sure this dog has problems? And I'm like, oh God, yes, this dog has problems. He's like, well, normally when we see a dog with these conditions, it's in terrible shape. And I'm like, oh no. I'm you know, you guys are all like on my case about, you need to calm down. It's like, no.
Yeah.
No, I'm on top of this.
Yeah.
On
top of it, people.
It's like a hydra. You cut off one head and two more grow up to take its place. But You know, this dog is getting through this allergy season in one piece.
Right. You were ready to call it off, and when you even got here, you were like, I was ready to call off.
Ready to call off.
And I was like, oh, I would have talked you into it anyway, because whether you go or you stay, she's going to have an ear infection. So, you might as well
I was
going to
call off because of that, and then something else happened that dropped like this huge emotional load on me that I had to deal with for a half an hour. And that actually made me like, I was like, oh, the heck with it.
Yeah.
I'm getting out of Dodge.
Yeah, I'm getting out of town while I can.
I'm like blowing this, So, but it was still very, it was a lot of emotional junk to process.
Yeah.
So I was pretty beat up by the time we got to Chicago. And then, you know, on the drive, it was really cool because on the drive, you're obsessed with Hamilton.
I am. I'm obsessed with that play.
And you played the soundtrack for us. So I really got into listening. I really enjoyed.
Well, at one point we were listening and I looked over and you were kind of like, you had your hand on your face. You were kind of looking out the window and I turned it down. I was like, are you all right? And he goes, no, I understand why you're fascinated by this play. He goes, this is amazing.
Yeah, no, that was, I was just like I do this. I stare off into nothing because I'm focusing on what I'm listening to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I'm just like staring off.
Well, and it probably didn't help that I'm singing half of them with
it. No, that was fine.
But yeah, no, I'm fascinated by that play. And
yeah.
At the end, of, like, it lasted. That soundtrack, it's two discs long. It's probably a little over 3+ hours.
Yeah, we got to the hotel on the last song.
Yeah. And I didn't start it very far. I think we were in Lincoln, Illinois, about a half an hour out of town when I plugged my phone in and started it. So it lasted us the entire way. But at the end of it, Dave was just like, I understand why you're fascinated by this now, because this is amazing.
Yeah, it was really compelling.
So those of you who haven't heard the Hamilton soundtrack, if you go to YouTube and look up Hamilton, the musical, somebody's put the entire soundtrack on YouTube, so you can listen to the whole thing for free. But yeah, it's pretty. It's coming to Chicago this year, so I'm anxiously. Tickets supposed to go on sale in May, so I'm like, I've got the Ticketmaster app on my phone, and I'm like, come on, Hamilton, and we are gonna buy tickets for me, Carrie, and Dave to go, and we.
Oh, okay. You don't. No.
Well, I talked to Carrie that night, and I told her your apprehension about because I offered. I was like, we're gonna get tickets. Do you want to go? And you were like, oh no, I don't want to interfere. And I'm like, no, you don't understand it. Trust me, it's fine. And even Carrie was
sometimes,
like...
Sometimes the redhead gives me a look, like, you again. No. And it's look.
And this, to quote Carrie, she was like, I hate when he says things like that because he's family. He shouldn't have to feel like that.
Did she really say that?
She did indeed say that.
Because she was one of the heroes of this weekend. She helped. She took care of Casey. She took her to the park.
Yeah.
In the middle of a marathon.
In the middle of a marathon.
But, I she is family.
Yeah.
So that means a lot to me.
That's how we look at you. We look at you, a family.
I know.
Because 9 times out of 10, when I call you and we're on your side of town, like we're running errands, I'm like, hey, have you eaten lunch? Come eat. Usually it's because Carrie's hungry, and then she's like, call Dave. See if Dave wants to come eat.
Aww.
Yeah. Like, it's never me, because I'm, you've known me long enough that my mind doesn't work that way. I'm just like, food.
Yeah, food. Yeah. No, because I think that's a guy thing. Yeah. Just like, you don't think of the social thing. You're just like, ooh, food, eat.
Yeah.
You know.
She's always like, call Dave. See if Dave wants to come. I'm like, oh, yeah, good idea. So yes, we were we're watching anxiously watching tickets because I'm sure we're gonna get tickets for some like on a Wednesday night. And I'm gonna be like, well, we gotta go.
We got what we got.
So yeah, I'm anxiously looking forward to that. But no, the weekend was like Dave said, it was emotional for Dave, and it was a little emotional for me too, because we get to Chicago. Josh Flood, of course, Floorburger had brought up this idea of, hey, I know you guys eat pizza at a restaurant.
Yeah,
every time
we're those
you go.
Guys. Yeah. We're the ones that eat pizza.
And we do. We eat Geno's East every time we go to Chicago. We make it a point, because if Dave doesn't get his Geno's East, Dave
is unhappy. I think I moved past that point, but I do still enjoy going to Geno's East.
I was like, yeah, all right, I'll put something together and, call them, set up a room for us upstairs with tables that could fit well over 25 people.
And we filled up one table. We had two tables. We filled up one table
completely. But it was a nice evening of a lot of toy talk, a lot of fun with a lot of great people. Of course, Floorburger, Josh Flood was there. Dealer Dan Pola was there. Andy from Andy's Toys was there. David Gall showed up. Our sponsor, Brian Brown, showed up. Buzz from Hive Ability.
Yeah, I was trying to
remember. His henchman Andy showed up. So we had a number of great people there that, we just sat around. We had invited a lot of other people. The guys from Roma Toys were invited, but they were in Chicago.
He has his own place.
Yeah.
Aaron has his own place,
yeah.
His version of Geno's. And so he's like, I'm here. I'm going to go to my place.
Yeah.
And he tried to get back to us. But
he did, but he was like an hour into town. So.
So I understand that. Like, the minute he said, like, I got a place that I go to, I'm like, well, okay.
Yeah.
We can relate to that.
But we had a good time. We were there from... That started at 5. Josh showed up right about at 5, and then Dan after that. And we were there until eventually.
We got back about 9.
So we were there, almost 4 hours, just sitting there, eating food, enjoying soda, enjoying the company of others, and just being social, which was really nice. It was,
well, you were being social because, you had pizza. Like, that was what you ate for breakfast, was your pizza, because you didn't eat any of it.
Yeah.
Hardly had any of it at night.
Yeah, because they brought the pizza while I was in the restroom. And when I came out, I stood at the other end of the table and talked. And my pizza's sitting down there, and I'm like, I'll get to it soon. Yeah. But it was good. I mean, kudos to Flood for bringing that up and helping pull that together. And, for anyone that didn't make it, I think we might try to make that a tradition for the spring show.
Yeah.
So I think that'll work out best. The fall show,
leave us the hell alone in October.
Well, the fall show, we're never sure if we're going to go up there the night before, if we're going to go up there that morning. This year we might go up that morning because Carrie really wants to go to King County, and it just never works out because we always stay over. So I think for the fall show we're going to try to drive up in the morning and she can sleep in the back.
But see, but I was going to say, but then what happens is then she's got to get up in the morning and suddenly she's like, yeah, no, I don't want to go.
Well, no, she wants to go, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, it was good. Before we talk,
well, I want to say, just since we're at that time in the timeline, I will say that there was a theme that started up about, okay, we're going to talk news.
Go ahead.
Just quickly, one of the themes of the show was, so I got this thing to tell you about this guy that's like a real jerk.
I don't want to name names.
Yeah, people wanted to dish dirt, but nobody wanted to ever name names.
Dave and I will never repeat any of the stories we heard. But we were like, no, name names.
Because half the time we didn't even know who they were.
You're like, I don't know who that is.
There
was a couple of people.
There was one time that they named a name and he's a Springfield legend and we both knew who it was.
Well, they didn't even have to say like Andy was, Andy from Andy's Toys was like, Chris McQuillan from Toyman was like, Chris gave me this guy's number.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who this is. And I was like, and Dealer Dan's looking over his shoulder. He's like, he's like him. And I'm like, who are you talking about? Dan's like, I don't want to name names. I'm like, oh, for God's sake. And he starts telling the story. And I'm like, and as he's telling it, I go, you've told this story to Dave and I both. We were at that show. We know this story. I'm like, I know who you're talking about. And everybody, as soon as I said the name, I swear to God, everyone at the table
And anyone who'd ever set up a toy man immediately knew who that guy
was. Even the gentleman, and I apologize, I can't think of his name, but Gall brought him. He was a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
He was an older gentleman, but he was an amazing, amazing guy. We talked for a long time. He had a story, and I was like, oh, my gosh. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. We'll get back to King County a little bit and some more stories about that. But on Tuesday the 24th of this month, April 24th, was Alien Day.
Because it's LV4th. Was it 24th or was it the 26th?
It was the 26th. I'm sorry.
It's LV426.
Yeah. So
it's the name of the planet where they find the derelict.
And this was a new thing for this year that they...
You always got to have a thing.
Yeah.
It's like May the 4th.
But a lot of stuff came out on Alien Day. Of course, one of the big things was Reebok's sneakers was selling a version of the...
Technically,
of the Ripley sneakers. I think they were like $135 or something like that.
That's not even that bad. They were sold like hotcakes at that price.
The problem is that Reebok only made 30 pairs, two of which apparently were... auctioned off for charity, and the other remaining pairs were sold on the website.
Again, and none of them were in women's sizes.
They were all men's shoes. And it's like, you guys made a shoe that represents one of the strongest, most powerful women in film.
Iconic female heroes.
Yes, and you didn't make it in women's sizes. You are a bunch of idiots. Like, I understand that shoe probably was not cheap to make. Hence the $130, whatever.
But that's what, like that's
if they would mass produce.
Jordans probably go for these days.
If they'd have mass produced several hundred of them, they could have made a crap ton of money. Now, what they'll probably do is what Pepsi did with the stupid Pepsi Free,
Pepsi Perfect,
or Pepsi Perfect, as well as the Back to the Future sneakers. They'll be like, oh, you know, the demand was so great, we're gonna make 100 of them, and it's like that's not enough. Like, you're not even meeting your customer base demand. Like, if you want to make them at least in the several thousand pairs, so at least more people can get a chance to get them, and make them in women's shoes, for God's sakes. Make them in women's sizes. How hard is that?
Dude, don't even look at me. Like I don't understand the logic of doing these, going to the trouble of doing this so that only, like, a handful of people can get anything.
No,
and that's not because I'm jealous that I didn't get the shoes. I probably would not have gotten the shoes.
I wouldn't either, but...
But... It's dumb. It's dumb business. This is like back in the 90s and the early aughts when toy companies would make like a convention exclusive that nobody could get. It's like, we're generating buzz. Yeah, you're generating buzz about how people are ticked off that can't get the thing that you're making.
Exactly.
Stupid.
I am looking on eBay right now. Okay.
Yeah.
The mid stompers, which are just the regular tissue version, tennis shoes versions, people have got listed for like $500. The actual
they made two different kinds.
They made two different kinds.
For the love of God!
Yeah. They made high and mid ones.
Well, the high ones are what she wore.
The high ones are what she wore. The ones that have sold so far, we've got sales for the high version, which are the long calf versions of the shoes, well almost into the $1,000 range. All the other ones have sold for, well over $1,000 range, almost, $2,000. People have spent a crap ton of money on these things to buy them. And I guarantee you there are more than 30 pairs of these shoes on here. So either someone is...
Yeah, people bought them up to resell them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's literally what they did is dealers who knew they were going to get a crap ton of money. There was 426 pairs, so... I'm sorry.
Of the high tops.
Of the high tops, but...
They probably made equal amounts of both.
Yeah, so... I had heard yesterday at one point there were only 30 pairs, so I was like, that didn't sound right at all, but...
Moving, still 500 pairs is not that much.
No, not at all. Moving on to Reebok, some of the toy stuff that was announced yesterday, there was a lot of Kotobukiya stuff, of course, and a lot of stuff.
They showed off the patch from the next Ridley Scott, the sequel to Prometheus.
Yes.
Which apparently their ship is based on the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was called, the ship's called Covenant, and it's got like the little
seraphim's things, yeah.
The Ark, yeah.
Actress Carrie Henn, those of you who don't know the name, she famously played Newt.
Rebecca Jordan.
Yep. She played Newt in the movie, in the original Aliens movie.
But only her brother calls her Rebecca.
she's reprising that role, apparently, from what I hear.
I knew they were bringing Newt back, but I didn't know... that she was going to be playing.
I believe she is playing.
I'm not sure. Hopefully she can act.
Yeah.
Like, how they're going to do it is... Okay, this amazes me.
Okay.
This literally amazes me. When Blomkamp announced this movie, it was clear... He made it very clear that this was going to be a movie that basically, like, ignored 3 and Resurrection.
Yes.
It just took off after Aliens.
Right.
Right? And then we got distracted with Prometheus, and we got blah, blah, blah. And then Jurassic World came out and basically ignored Lost World and Jurassic Park 3.
Right.
And then suddenly, like, now they're talking, well, Newt's coming back. People are like, how can that be? She died in Part 3. Yes, they've already told you that they're ignoring those.
Yes.
Derp.
Yeah. But actress Carrie Henn on Twitter revealed images of NECA's upcoming 7-inch scale Newt figure. So the Newt figure will come with a marine helmet, a doll head, a flashlight, and a photo, as was seen in the film. So it's kind of cool that we're going to get a Newt to go along with our little Ripley.
Yeah.
Was the Ripley from Alien or Aliens?
I think they've done both.
They've done both.
I believe.
So NECA will have that out later this year. Along with Funko, got in on the Alien Day with a bunch of new pops and reaction figures.
Oh, I kind of like that one.
Including the battle-weary Ellen Ripley from Aliens.
Yeah,
got bruises. She's got the flamethrower.
That looks cool.
The Alien Queen pop vinyl, and then the reaction box set of the Alien Queen, the power loader, and a new version of Ripley.
And see how like the head is the almost head, proportional yes, to yes. the body?
It looks like Funko has finally discovered their problem with the reaction figures and actually paid somebody to do good sculpts instead of doing horrible sculpts of figures. So the Ripley actually does look pretty good. And I don't know, is it a box set you're going to...
It's a box set I'm going to get.
Yeah, because it's got the Queen and the Power Loader.
I've never had a big fetish for the Power Loader, but I do like the Queen.
Yeah, she looks good. I mean, they both look really well done, so... I believe those will be out sometime later this year as well.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of NECA, well, hold on. There's another Alien Day. The other NECA Ooh. Figure that was shown off was the Alien 7-inch Private Vasquez. They gave a little preview of Vasquez, so a little side
she's
view.
She's overdue.
Yeah, she's way overdue. So we're going to get a Vasquez later this year as well. And they've revealed a couple images, including a unpainted prototype with her headgear and everything, which looks pretty pretty in-depth. And then, of course, a painted version of that said prototype with just the chest piece, which says, El Regreso Siempre Vive. I think that's how you say that.
Sure.
And then her gun, of course, says Adios on it.
I remember Adios on the gun.
Yeah. So we're getting a well-overdue Vasquez figure from NECA.
She is well-overdue.
She is very much overdue.
I concur.
Going on with NECA, NECA showed off the Ultimate Police Station Assault T-800 from Terminator.
Okay.
So the fact is, Features a detailed bullet-riddled motorcycle jacket and bears, of course, the likeness of Arnold. Has 25 points of articulation, 3 interchangeable heads, 2 pairs of hands, 2 SPAS-12 shotguns, an AR-18 assault rifle, and a Smith & Wesson Model 15 handgun.
What, no Uzi 9mm?
No. So this is it's a nice-looking figure, too.
It's a good-looking toy.
It'll be in the deluxe packaging that we've seen lately that they've been releasing the more deluxe figures in, the big box with the window that opens up.
Okay.
The Velcroed front.
Okay, we said big box.
Like, well, you know, box. Yeah. It's a box. That'll be out sometime in July, so make sure you look for that soon. I know the big deal for people yesterday going to Toys R Us was looking for the Aliens Day, the exclusive Toys R Us Kenner-styled Ripley. NECA did a Kenner-styled Ripley from the Aliens line. That. Yeah, you might keep an eye on that. If they do, they're in the back still because
I'm sure
our NECA person sucks.
Yeah, but like our stores decided they don't care anymore.
Yeah, good for them. They shouldn't have cared in the first place.
Well,
but
the rep was causing issues. Like, yeah. Was complaining and filing reports.
Yeah,
and
so next time you go and be like, hey, you guys got to be those
exclusive Ripley's?
I'm
going in tomorrow's truck day.
Yeah, so make sure you check on that because that's a nice looking figure too.
I'm
just saying they reproduce the.
I know what it is. Yeah. They've done that with Predator
Rambo
all the time.
And
Rambo. Yeah, it's basically like a Ripley figure done in the Kenner style.
The homage. Yeah. It's very nice.
I get it.
Very nice. The very popular World of Nintendo figures from Jack Specifics gets a fourth.
Jack Specifics?
Gets another series of figures, Series 6, which will include Falco Lombarde from Star Fox, the Wind Waker version of Link. A red Yoshi with egg, the flying turtle from Mario Bros. I know he has a name, I can't think of it. And a Tanuki Mario from one of the newer Wii Mario games, which escapes me because I haven't kept up on those games.
You are speaking gibberish to me right now.
Sorry. But those will be out.
Just gibberish.
You could pre-order those right now at BigBagToyStore.com.
Tanuki Hanuki to you too.
Funko, back to the Funko thing. Showed off some more pop vinyls for the classic version of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Again, man, every time Funko does one of these, you're more surprised that they haven't done them already.
I know. Figures included... Each figure possesses a physical item that defines their personality. Grandpa Joe borrows the fizzy lifting drink bottle. Charlie Bucket holds the golden ticket proudly. Veruca Salt clings to the egg of his golden goose. Mike TV comes with a miniature Mike figure. And Augustus Gloop enjoys his umpteenth bar of chocolate. And those will be out in July. And of course,
Willy Wonka?
There is not a Willy Wonka yet. They'll probably do him in the second series, maybe. But again, like Dave said, every time they do a new one, you're like, they haven't done that yet?
Yeah, it's more surprising that they haven't done it yet. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
If those sell well, they'll do more Willy Wonkas, which I'm sure they'll sell well. The DC Comics Multiverse Batman vs. Superman figures are now complete with the release of the last two figures in the waves.
I haven't even found the Aquaman or Nightmare Batman in stores yet. They were all over King County.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them in stores yet.
The last two figures are starting to pop up at Targets, including which are Lex Luthor and the mystery figure, which is the Bat Creature, which is actually
from the Nightmare sequence, which
is supposed to be the figure that is supposed to be the Bat figure that lifts. They're saying it's the Bat figure that lifts Bruce up. No, it's a parademon. Pretty sure that's what those are.
What it is is when he goes into his parents' crypt. A bat monster comes smashing out of
that.
The crypt.
Yeah, okay, that's what.
No, that's
that
not
is.
A parademon. Parademon look different.
Okay, it's
already
it
been established. It's got like 10 seconds of screen time. Yeah, it's bewildering that they made a toy of that.
Yeah. So that'll finish up the last two pieces
of
the.
I read an article on AFI about it.
So. Oh, okay. That's what I thought when I saw it. I was like, "What is that?" It's a
parademon. Yeah, everyone thinks no. The parademon is more mechanical.
I got you. Some Kickstarter news.
Yeah, talk to
a couple
me about
of things.
This. Speak to me.
David
on the
Silva from Creative Beast Studio. Yes, he does. From Creative Beast Studio is releasing a line of figures: Beasts of the Mesozoic, the Raptor series action figures, and of course, Beasts of the Mesozoic is a line of scientifically accurate, highly detailed, and articulated dinosaur action figures. So those will they look really nice.
They do look nice.
Yes. Of course, they're about, they're sitting next to a 6-inch scale figure. They look pretty decent.
Yeah, they're a 6-inch scale, it looks like.
Yeah. And they look like they're, again, scientifically accurate. So
raptors were pretty small.
Yeah. But it looks like for about a... for 200 or more... Wow. Well, no. Let me go up. Let me scroll up a little bit. For $100 or more, you get all three figures.
Mm.
So that's not a bad...
Not a bad deal.
No.
Any stretch goals?
Looks like... the stretch goals, if he's got them yet. They're beautiful looking figures.
They're nice. I just, you know, I've never really been a big fan of the Raptors. I will say. No.
He does not have stretch goals yet. All right. At all. God bless me. I've been sneezing up a storm this spring. No stretch goals yet, but he has got a... let's see. He's got a $125,000 goal. He's got 29 days to do it, and he's already got $23,000 of it. So, going at a good clip. So, not bad. This is the first Kickstarter that he's created. So, hopefully it'll go through, because again, they look really nice.
Yeah. Well, apparently he's a sculptor who's done a bunch of stuff.
Yes. And then I wanted to talk about, we talked about the Eagle Force Returns trading card set. A couple of shows ago. We kind of mentioned it a few shows before that. But he is fully funded. He had a $700 goal. Of course, he's at $9,000. What's interesting about it is that our friend from D&J Toys, there is a new stretch goal that if they hit $10,000, there's a glider. So they've made a glider now. D&J Toys has made a glider for the Eagle Force vs. Riot.
Okay.
And for the... let's see if I can get to the scroll down to the, so $10,000. They're going to do the Riot Pilot Air Assault Stealth Trooper.
Yeah.
So if you back the stretch glider level, which is 275, you'll get two of those figures. So the glider is going to happen, but it's pretty cool that they're. That he got to design.
Actually, I don't like that they're adding like figures into the thing for a series that's not about figures. You know what I mean?
I know, but that's it's great publicity for
Maybe
for people.
Like I was saying earlier, it's like, hey, it's a lot of buzz, and my buzz is I'm annoyed because I want to back the figures, not the trading cards.
Yeah, Dave's waiting for the trigger, but the only way to get this Riot Pilot Air Assault Stealth Trooper is to back.
I'm like, well, I don't really want to back the card, so I'm not going to get a figure. So if I can't get a complete set, why back it at all?
Right.
That's my mentality.
That's Dave's mentality, but...
nope, I'm just saying, and I don't necessarily think I'm alone in that.
No, I don't think you are either, but, I mean, it doesn't look like too many people have thought differently of it, because
they made their thing like a while back, though.
That's true.
They blew that out a long time ago, because they had no overhead costs.
No, not really.
Or they had a very low goal.
Very low goal. Some movie stuff this week. The last trailer for the X-Men...
Apocalypse.
I was like, what is the name of it all of a sudden? X-Men Apocalypse, the last trailer for that was released by Fox Studios, which in the last fleeting seconds of that film trailer showed off the fact that, yes, Wolverine is in this film, albeit maybe just in a short sequence, but he is a part of this film. Why are you looking at me like that?
This is my shocked face.
Oh, okay.
This is my. Oh my God! I am so surprised.
One of probably the other worst kept secret of films.
Wasn't even a secret. I mean, yeah, okay. There was no like nobody was really talking about like Wolverine being in the movie, but it's an X-Men movie. They'll put him in. They might not even use Hugh Jackman. It might just be that you see like the troopers running down the hall, and you see that shot of the hand in the claws. Yeah. And then it cuts back to the kids, and like, wow, we were saved by this guy.
Yeah. He had claws. He had claws out of his hands. It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
crazy. Crazy.
Wolverine was gonna be in it. It's an X-Men movie.
Yes, very much so.
Oh my God.
and then what was the other trailer that was released?
Well, there was another thing in that trailer too that was kind of, I thought, a big thing is that in Days of the Future Past, Quicksilver made a joke about there was a cute little joke about Magneto being his father.
Oh yeah, Magneto.
And in this one, they actually flat out say that he is his father.
Yeah, Magneto's my father. Raven's like, what?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah.
No, he's like, yeah, he and my mom. And she's like, I get it.
I get it. I know.
Yeah.
There was a lot more mystique in this one other than just Raven. Like, she actually
mystique.
But it looks fun. I'm excited for that film. I think it's going to be a pretty exciting fun X-Men movie. There was another trailer that was released this week too that I had asked you about. Oh, the Batman Killing Joke trailer for the first R-rated animated film that features Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill back as roles of Batman and Joker. And watch that. And like you said, that trailer was more exciting because it was just all of these classic lines from that book.
For me personally, it was exciting because I love that book.
Yes.
That was one of the books that I first got into comics with. And of course, Conroy and Hamill are the iconic Batman and Joker of my age. So to hear them reading these lines, you know, delivering these lines, and it was really cool.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, I mean, I know the story. I know everything that happened. So there's really no point, in a weird way, there's no point in getting that movie except to have all these elements come together. I mean, I'm going to buy it.
Right.
Because to have all these elements come together and to have Mark Hamill read, because he actually did that once. He put on YouTube, he did the soliloquy at the end, the Why Aren't You Laughing soliloquy.
Right.
And it was amazing. So, like, actually have him do that officially in character is going to be amazing. Yeah.
It's going to be pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
See, I'm excited about that. And there was so, of course, we're just a handful of days out from Captain America Civil War being officially released.
Yep.
People are already spoiling it on Facebook feeds for people.
I heard Lee surrenders and Lincoln dies.
Yes. It's a sad ending.
It is tragic.
But also, they've released some new TV spots featuring new footage, including Ant-Man versus Black Widow, which is pretty spectacular and funny.
Yeah.
And then Spider-Man versus Winter Soldier, which, you know, a lot of people who had seen the film for both the premiere and some of the previews have said they were surprised at how much Spider-Man is in this movie, thinking that he was just going to be...
I really thought it was just going to be like a cameo.
Yes. And then on top of that, I believe within the last week since we recorded, not only did they announce, you know, Marvel announced the Spider-Man film's name, Spider-Man Homecoming, which is kind of fitting.
Yeah, everyone's commented on how cute it is because now he's kind of back in the Marvel fold.
But I'm sure it'll have the title will have more meaning than just that.
Well, because he's back in high school, so
right.
it's a double blah blah blah.
Kevin Feige has also announced that Marvel has complete creative control over that film. Like, it's Sony's movie, but it's like, again, like we said a long time ago, it's Marvel going, we know you.
I'm sorry to keep giving you my shocked face.
Exactly.
Throughout the whole
Marvel has complete creative
control.
Yeah,
no, it's your movie. You're so cute. Now let us do this.
Yes, let us take care of your mistakes.
Let's take care of your movie for you.
So Marvel
do
has
you like money. Yes, good.
Let us take care of it.
Let us take care
so
of
Marvel
it.
Has complete creative control of this, which means we'll actually have a good Spider-Man movie.
Maybe. Marvel, there's some C-list. There's some C-list movies on that roster. Yeah,
yes.
there's some not. I don't think they've done. They've only done one real kind of close to a stinker, which was, of course, my favorite Incredible Hulk.
Right.
He's the only now. I kind of lament that he came so early in the roster because now that they've got their stuff together, right?
Right.
Like look at this Doctor Strange movie, and it's like they get Doctor Strange, and they're hitting it out of the park. You may not like it.
Yes.
But it's going to be very true to Doctor Strange.
Which was like, always my argument today to somebody. Well, not argument. We were having a conversation at work about DC films versus
fight.
Marvel films. Yeah, fist fight.
That explains that shiner.
And I said the reason I back Marvel films so much more heavier than DC is the fact that Marvel respects their source material so much that they're willing to just
now
be,
they do.
Well, now they do, yeah. But they're so they respect it so much now they didn't in the first couple films. They did and they didn't.
They were more conventional. The early ones were more conventional superhero movies.
But since they started to take a lot of risks and realize, well, we're really faithful with our material, they can do movies like Guardians and like Doc Strange and a lot of these weird, you know, crazy things.
Well, they're also, Downey's contract's running out. Everybody's contracts are running out. So it's like, who else we got?
Well, that's the other thing I was going to bring up is the fact that Robert Downey Jr. has signed on to play Tony Stark in Spider-Man Homecoming. Yeah, I know. Again, shock face.
Yeah, you mean that thing that they announced the minute they announced that movie has actually been confirmed?
Yes.
Okay. I'll try to calm down now.
Calm yourself, Dave. You're getting too excited.
They announced that when they announced that they were even going to do this whole thing.
Right.
It's going to, like again, the only real question is how much is he going to be in it?
Exactly.
And my guess is he'll be in a little bit more than you probably thought he was going to be.
Mm-hmm. And if he will still play that mentor role to Spider-Man.
I would assume so.
So it's that was kind of cool to read this week to see and be like, oh, well, we knew that all this, but it's nice to finally have it official.
I guess.
moving on to Kane County. The talk that people are excited to, I'm sure, hear about our thoughts about this this year's the first show
of
the
year. It was good. Show over.
It was great. See you guys next week.
See you guys next week. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
No, King County was a lot of fun. It was a good show to attend, I thought, this spring. We had beautiful weather for the spring show.
We had unusually beautiful weather.
For the first time, and I can't remember when.
Yeah.
It's usually always rainy and dreary.
It's always rainy, chilly, cold, and, yeah, and miserable. It was a little cool at the beginning, but we both kind of knew that it was like, we're going to wear our things now, but eventually they're going back to the car.
We're
going to
have jackets on, but eventually jackets are going to be not on anymore.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great show. The night before at the get-together, the Toy World Order get-together at Geno's East, Chris and Matt Toys had come in. They weren't going to be at the show a whole lot Sunday. They had been texting me throughout the day and had finally texted me and said, hey, can we drop the playset off with Buzz from Hive of Villainy? And I said, oh, absolutely, yes, drop it off to him because he's coming for pizza tonight. So I'm like, that works out well because I wanted to just, like, I was going to meet Buzz at...
I know you were.
At the parking lot of the fairgrounds and just grab it because I just wanted to get in the car and get it over with and not have to worry about it on Sunday and worry about carrying it around and it getting bumped into or broke. I'm like, if it's in the car, I know it's safe. Brought that out. So that was the start of the weekend was this, it was kind of fun to see all of these guys kind of, a lot of them had never seen this. Like Buzz had never seen it. A lot of people had never seen it in person. So it was kind of fun for those guys to like take a like Andy was taking pictures and
yeah, everyone was taking Buzz pictures of that thing.
And Flood of course was like, can I take some pictures
with
the Hoff? And I'm like, oh God, yes, please do. So Josh was kind of fussing with it a little bit, and I kind of poked through it to see what shape things were in. It was kind of dirty, it was kind of beat up, all fixable though. So I was very very happy. But we got to that started off the weekend, and then Sunday we stand in the line. Stand in line, and I thought it was fun. We're standing there talking and kind of discussing, about the show, and we were kind of just talking amongst ourselves. And then out of nowhere, Brian and Veronica Panizzi walk up, fans of the show, fans of Carrie and I, fans of Dave and I, drove from Florida. I mean, they stopped to visit family, but drove from Florida just to go to the show, which I thought was amazing because they heard all about this show from us and from
Danny.
Pixel Danny.
Yeah.
And they come bearing gifts, and they handed Dave and I these bags of stuff that they brought for his gifts. And we talked for a little bit, and then they went and stand in line. And I didn't open my bag until I got home, but they brought you some fun stuff. You got a Dino Rider.
Well, apparently there's like a subset of Hot Wheels called Dino Riders.
Yes.
So yes, they got me one of those, which was cute.
Pretty cute.
Yeah, it was just cute. It's like, I got a Dino Rider. I'm getting a little... Because Flood gave us some stuff, too.
Yes, Josh gave us some stuff the night before, too, which was a fun little box of stuff. Trading cards and
What Brian gave me that was really cool were these... his wife is from Brazil?
Yes, she's from Brazil.
And they had these weird little G.I. Joe things that you put on Coke bottles at birthday parties.
Oh, neat.
These little cardboard things that you put on the tops of Coke bottles at a birthday party.
Oh.
And it's like really weird and unique and cool. Yeah. Those are great. I love those.
Yeah, I got a bunch of cool... I waited until I got home Sunday to open my bag because I knew a portion of it was for Carrie. So I waited to get home so Carrie could actually open it and go through it. But they gave us a bunch of comics, which were kind of cool. A bunch of old Whitman, Mickey Mouse, and Super Goofy comics. And some Muppets Take Manhattan stuff from Marvel. And a Muppet Babies comic. And a bunch of little random PVCs and stuff, which was great. Some little Disney baby stuff for Carrie. But the thing I thought was kind of cool, which is sitting in front of Dave on the shelf, on the table here, is Veronica gave me her Little Mermaid coloring book from when she was a little girl in Brazil.
I was looking at that.
And it's really cool because it's not like other comics. It's like it's made so you can pull the cover off. And she was like, I actually, it's mine. I colored in it when I was a little girl. And she did a marvelous job.
Yeah.
I mean, I was looking at it going, this is cool.
I mean, for one that's colored in, normally it's all... I mean, it looks nice.
Yeah.
Like the colored parts look nice.
I mean, I don't understand any of the language, but it's just a neat foreign coloring book. And I told her, I was like, that's going to have an amazing spot in the collection. I'm going to put it in the forefront of things so people can see it when they come in, because it's really cool. It's really unique. So that was really nice of Brian and Veronica, and I know later when we met up with them.
Yeah, that was very cool.
We met up to him while we were showing Danny something in the main PEC building, and they were like, they had something for Danny too, but he was like, well, are you guys going to be around? They're like, we may be leaving here shortly, because we're overwhelmed, because that show was very overwhelming for first-timers to come in and be like, oh my God, there's so much stuff. It was a great show, though. We found I was not.
It was interesting because our roles kind of reversed
this almost, show. Yes.
This show where I would stop and talk to people, and you just kept on going.
Yes,
you just like you had gotten your Ghost Command.
I had a Grail piece sitting in my trunk. I was done.
Just kind of like, yeah. What else is there?
Right.
You were like Alexander. There were no more worlds for you to conquer. And I would actually stop and talk to people. So yeah. it was
you had stopped talked to quite a few people.
Yeah. Well, there was, because we ran into three fans. I can't remember who the second one were, and I feel bad about that. And then there was one that actually I ran into on the way back to the car.
Yes.
Who stopped me. He's like, hey, oh yeah. Oh, the second one was we were coming back in from a car run.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
And you're playing around, and the guy's walking towards us. I can't remember his name. I can't remember anybody's name.
That's the problem. You and I can't remember names for the life.
But he's talking on his phone. He's like, I think it's Duvall and the other guy.
The other guy.
And that started a whole thing once Danny and John showed up.
Yes.
But so we stopped and we talked to him. And then like towards the end of the day, I was heading back to the car, and this guy goes, hey, and you were still in the rabbit building. He's like, hey, are you Dave Draper? And I'm like, yeah. And this guy just stops, and he like shakes my hand. Oh, he's like, yeah. How much he loves the stuff we do. He's like, I love your attitude, man. You just don't give a
fart. Beep.
Yeah, a beep. Beep. He's like, and it's just like so, it was really kind of like touching and cool that we had all these great fans that came up and said hi. And
I said it in both my haul video as well as some videos Carrie and I shot Sunday when I got home. But just like, we may not be the biggest dogs in the yard, but we have the greatest fans in the world.
We
just
really
bar
truly do.
None.
Yeah.
Just the most loyal and greatest people ever that enjoy our stuff and enjoy our camaraderie and our ridiculousness.
Yeah.
And just love us for us. And that fills my heart with so much joy.
It really means the world
to us.
Oh,
God, yes.
Because we ain't doing it for the money.
There's no money here, people. none at all. Yeah, just the greatest people in the world.
Yeah.
But the show was great. We found, I did find a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I think my greatest disappointment of the show was I bought three things of sealed trading cards. One was the Valiant Era from Upper Deck. One was the Wildcats card series from Topps. And one was a Topps card set of E.T. from the 80s. Okay, full boxes, never been opened, all sealed packs. I opened the Valiant Era first. I'm missing six cards. Sealed box. Four of the packs I opened had five of the same card in them. I am not joshing you. It was ridiculous. I was like, oh my God, are you serious? Like, no wonder Upper Deck is, I don't know if they're in business anymore or not, but I'm like, no wonder these cards failed miserably. The Topps Wildcats card series, missing two cards. I'm like, come on, man. And then the ET cards, I got a full set except for the stickers, missing a sticker.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. I'm like, this is awful.
That was impressive that you did that around a burp.
Thank you. It just came out of nowhere. But yeah, I was like, this sucks. Like, I am so disappointed.
You
right
sent me
now.
A text. You were so angry.
Oh,
I was
mad.
In the middle of the day.
I was so mad. I was like, this is horrible. Put together a bunch of stuff that I bought. I bought the helicopter from the Rambo line of Coleco that I can't think of its actual name. The reused G.I. Joe ATV mold.
From Stargate.
From Stargate, which finishes off my Stargate line. I bought a boxed Crash Dummies, one of the second releases of the Crash and Bash motorcycles. So I put that together, which was a lot of fun. Put stickers on it. That was a joy. So I did that. I bought some carded figures from the show, which is all in my haul video. Some Disney stuff for Carrie, which she loved.
Yeah, you got that cool boat from Playmobil.
Yes. Well, no, Playmates.
Playmates. Playmates. Yeah. I misspoke.
No, that's all right. It was Playmates because I showed it to Dan. Oh, no, Danny had something that was done by Playmates. He's like, Playmates made this. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, Playmates made a lot of that stuff where they started making turtle stuff, man. Yeah. I'm like, that was Playmates' MO, was they made those toys. So, yeah, I bought a sealed thing, a Disney show boat that has some figures on it that move from Playmates and A bunch of a bunch of carded figures that, you know, some Wildcat stuff and some Beetlejuice stuff and some cop stuff. Opened all those up when I got home and put them away. At the Grail piece, of course, which I spent the last couple of nights fixing and cleaning. I still need to do some repairs to it. Had a bunch of broken pegs, which, of course, that place that is notoriously famous for being fragile in some places.
Yeah.
A couple of the pegs, like the peg that comes out of the floor at the bottom that holds the bottom part of the elevator, was broke. Some of the arrows, the pegs for them were broke off. So they had used, like, they had drilled screws in there to kind of fix it, which...
Ah, that's what that was. Okay, yeah.
So, which is fine. I used the screws the best I could and left them in there because I'm like, I'm not taking those out. I don't want to hurt anything, damage anything. There was, there's a trap door that's controlled by this, like, skeleton arm, but the way it's made, the plastic around how it connects was so thin and fragile to begin with that it was broke, so I fixed it. Got it in working condition, re-strung some of the rubber bands. There's places for some action features that I rubber banded and got working again. So cleaned up, dude. I used like four magic erasers to clean that thing. It was so disgusting and dirty and dusty.
I believe it.
Oh, my God, it was horrible. But cleaned it up. Now it looks really nice. It looks, it's a great showpiece now. So you found a bunch of stuff.
I did. You know, again, like in terms of like weird Twilight Zone-esque, like one of the first tables that, well, we went through the first building, and I didn't realize that what you guys did
the trades building
is you would go from like, because the trades building kind of split into two,
right?
And you guys would just go like straight through.
Yes.
And I would all go up and down the aisle on one half and go up and down the aisle.
Right.
That's probably why I would always stop and look around. You guys were gone.
Yeah.
But so we went down the second half of the building, and there was a guy with a table that had a bunch of 12-inch G.I. Joes. And the first one I saw was Robert E. Lee, and I've been on this Civil War kick.
Yes.
And I've always wanted that figure. I've always wanted him and Grant.
Well, you had gone to the Lincoln
Library
and Museum.
We'd gone to the tomb, and we'd gone to the Library and Museum, and we're talking about revisiting the Civil War Ken Burns series. But it is a figure I've always wanted. I've always wanted that Lee, and I've always wanted the Grant. And he had the Lee, and I said, you know, how much do you want? You know, how much are you asking for it? And the tag was like $40. He goes, 20.
Yeah.
Like, not even, like, I didn't, you know, it was just like, immediately he cut the price in half. And I'm like, okay.
Sure.
And then I looked and I saw he had Natalie Poole. And Natalie Poole is an Action Man figure. Action Man is the British version of G.I. Yes. Joe. And in the 90s, I'm thinking?
Late 90s, early 2000s. Late,
yeah, but they brought back the series and they gave him this female companion, Natalie Poole.
Yes.
Fun Pub, Jokon actually had a small scale version of her in one of the
FSS
in the one of the concepts, not the concepts, but one of the add-on sets.
Oh, okay.
I think it was the year that they had the Red Shadows.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't go that year, so I just have the box set, and I have, but she's like a repainted Sonya Blade from
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, but point being, like, so it was like, wow, you know, like they got Natalie Poole. How much? And they actually had the he had the Stealth Fighter too, but that's like a coffee table.
Yeah.
But he cut that one in half too, and I'm like, jeez. And then I was like, do you have Grant? Because I wanted Leanne Grant, and he had built like a little stack of figures, and of course Grant was at the bottom. So
yeah.
But like just immediately I got like two figures that I always really wanted. A guy at Toy Man had them a couple of shows ago, and like wanted like a ton for them.
Yeah, I remember that.
Wouldn't bargain,
wouldn't budge.
So I got them like super cheap, including you know, like Aaron from Roma was like, wow, I can't believe you got Natalie Poole.
Yeah,
I'm so jealous. And that was like literally the first purchase I made, and this guy's like cutting me these deals.
Yeah,
no one else did that, but I mean, it was still kind of cool. And then I bought a bunch of stuff. A lot of it was fairly random, just. Filling in bits in here. There was one dealer that had like a bunch of figures carded, and I got like another Robotech figure. I got another Doctor Who figure.
Yep.
Just like a random alien. But they were kind of cheap. And then actually the last thing I bought was probably my favorite thing. And the story behind that is, we had seen this guy had this a custom toy chest / shelf thing that he had made look like Castle Grayskull.
It was all Fisher-Price, like, castle play, like, toy box.
Yeah.
And he had repainted in Castle Grayskull colors and made some stickers for it and stuff.
And you were like,
it's marvelous.
Yeah, it looked really cool. I mean, even as a guy who's not a big Masters fan, I'm like, that's really kind of cool. And you're like, I gotta show Danny. I gotta see Danny's reaction to it. So So we Danny and John finally show up, and we take them in to see it. And they're, you guys are all looking at that and talking to the guy. Yeah. I'm kind of off the side. Like, well, I mean, you know, I'm not that. It was cool, but I'm not that into Masters.
Right.
It was a small area.
You're like, I've seen it. Move on.
I've seen it. Yeah, this is great. Because you know, it was one of those things where you're like, yeah, I'm kind of ready to go get some food, hit the Jimmy John's. Oh wait, Danny's here. I mean, another hour at least. But anyway, so I'm killing time. I turn around, and there's a dealer behind us. He's got the big setup. He's got the glass front cases. And I'm just kind of looking around, blah, blah, blah. And the Transformers one, he's got two Grimlocks. He's got the G2 Grimlock. And then there's one right next to it that's also blue, but it's a lighter blue.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And I pull out my phone. I check to make sure that I have the dark blue. You know, make sure which one I have.
Right.
I'm like, I got to get it.
Yeah.
I got to get it. It's a Grimlock I don't have. I must own this.
It's a teal Grimlock.
It's apparently, technically, it's turquoise, but whatever. I'm just like, he's teal. He's different. He's Grimlock. I love him.
I must have him and own him.
And I misread the price tag. I thought it was 25. It was not 25.
No.
But by that point, I was like, I don't care. I want him.
I must have him.
I must have a new Grimlock. So that was basically my favorite thing. It was like, it's another Grimlock, and it's the one that I don't have. Apparently, it's rare. So I'm like, yay, Grimlock!
My favorite thing I saw was, we had talked about this some time ago on a show. Is it Halbrook? No,
Hal Holbrook.
Hal Holbrook. We had kind of discussed it because I had discovered it by looking at PlaidStallions.com. And
Hal Needham.
Hal Needham.
Hal Holbrook is an actor.
Yeah. Hal Needham, who was a famous stuntman in the 60s and 70s.
He became a director. Yeah. He's a guy that did like Cannonball Run. Yeah. And yeah.
I believe it was Ideal had a toy line for him in the 70s. And it was kind of cool looking. Like, I discovered it. I was like, oh my God, I really want one of these. And I started looking on eBay and I was like, oh my God, I can't afford one of these. Like, they're so expensive. Well, a guy had the big boxed Western playset at one of his booths. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, I got to ask. And I asked one guy who I thought he was, must have been sharing the table. And I was like, hey, what do you got on the Needham set? And he's like, I think he said 50. And my eyes lit up. I'm like, ah! He's like, you have to ask him over the hat. And I was like, oh, okay. I go over and I was like, hey, what do you got on the Needham set? And he's like, well, because like, I was asking 75 for it. And then my eyes kind of dimmed a little bit. I'm like, well, it's still not bad. But he's like, you know, I got 50 into it. But I was like, is it all there? And he's like, yeah, you know, I bought it 10 years ago. I'm thinking it's still all there. You can go ahead and look at it if you want. So I go digging through it thinking, well, if it's all here and it's 75 bucks.
It wasn't.
Well, I'm getting to that.
I know, but I wanted to step on it.
Yes. I'm like, well, I'll pick it up because maybe I'll barter with him a little bit, try to get it down to 60. And you know, I'm looking through there and I come across, I can see the figure's feet, like, there's a bag in there. It's got his hat and everything in there and all the little accessories. I'm like, it looks pretty complete. So that's not a bad price for this. I pull the figure out of there. And as I pull him up, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be awesome. This figure's, oh, his head is gone. Like, the head was shattered off at the neck. And I'm like, oh. And I kind of looked at the guy, I gave him this really sad face and picked the figure up and showed him. The guy just hung his head and shook it. And he's like, oh. And so I went over and talked to him a little bit. And I was like, you know, I was like, he's like, is the head in there? And I'm like, I didn't see it. And he's like, you know, I'm thinking when I bought it, the head wasn't in there either. And I'm like, ugh. I'm like, you know, I'm like, I'd love to buy it. I'm like, but trying to track down one of those figures is probably going to be just a nightmare.
Yeah, that would suck.
And I don't want to, you know, there was a guy that's had one of the smaller sets that came with the launching platform and two cardboard figures, had it on eBay for like, they wanted like almost $200 for it. I'm like, ah.
Wow.
I'm like, I would like to own one. I'm like, but I can't. And later in the day, we had seen the Rambo helicopter, and the guy only wanted 40 for it. So I'm like, I told Dave, I was like, well, I need to go get the rest, you know, some more money out to go. I'm gonna go get the helicopter. Yeah.
That was when I ran into the guy that actually recognized me.
So I left you to go to the ATM, and then had to walk all the way back to that building. But I was in the main building. I went back over to that booth, and I hemmed and hawed over it. And I'm thinking, the guy's got 50 in it. I know it's broke. I'm like, I could probably talk him down to 40 bucks. And just take it off his hands, because it sounded like he's had it forever. And I was like, you know what? I can't. I'm like, I don't want to try to track one of those down. I don't want to try to explain to Kerry why I bought this thing, because I knew it was broke. And I'm like, I'm heartbroken that I passed it up. It was cool to see, because it was one of those items that you don't think you're ever going to see at a show.
Yeah.
So that was fun to see and be like, ugh. Like, it's really cool, but I can't do it. I just can't friggin' do it. Overall, it was a great show, though. I know it was you know, I saw a lot of cool stuff. There was one booth in the Rabbit building that they had all of this original artwork for, you know, the magic slates they used to sell at like the 70s, and they have like the cartoon characters, and you'd lift the little slate thing. They had original artwork for a bunch of those.
Oh.
They wanted a crap ton of money all of them, but like they had like the Fat Albert, just all this amazing original artwork, and they were all framed. They were all custom framed, which were beautiful. But you're talking, they wanted like almost $200 to $300 a piece for them. And I'm like, that's awesome, but those are cool to see. Man, they're expensive. That was one of the coolest. That was the other cool thing I saw, was that original artwork. There was a guy set up in the Rabbit building, or in the Swine building, I guess, that had like the last booth in that little building, and he had like tribal masks and
stuff. Yeah, they mentioned that at dinner the night
like,
before.
What the heck is happening? Like, what is this? You're not toys, dude. You're not... I'd be surprised you make any money, brother.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to make any money. That's kind of weird counter-programming. Yeah, that's not going to pay off. Yeah, but, God bless you.
Good luck, man. Yeah, a lot of fun stuff, a lot of cool stuff at this show. Really, it was really crowded this show.
It was.
I thought it was really crowded this spring. Probably because it was a nice day.
It depended on where you were at. Yeah, there was like, especially that first building when we first went in was really crowded.
Yeah,
couldn't get in to look at anything.
No.
So I'm glad that we did a second pass.
Yeah.
We were able to finally get in and look at some stuff.
Yeah. I think the only frustration I had at the show was the day after the show. Monday.
There we go.
Well,
yeah. Well, all right, let's properly finish this off.
Okay.
Because we drove home.
Yes,
we did. There's a good story in that where we were driving home. And, you know, Prince sadly passed away.
Yes.
Listening. There's
XM Satellite Radio.
Had a tribute channel.
Yep. And for the weekend, because I don't have XM Satellite Radio, I don't pay for it, so we get a free channel.
Yeah.
It was the free channel all weekend.
Yeah. And we were kind of listening off and on. We would get... And there was... We turned it back on. There was some song, and it just...
Unfortunately, we don't have the wealth of knowledge of Prince's catalog of work. So we're like, what is this?
That, but it was a song that kind of, a lot of his songs kind of go on a bit at the end.
Yes.
And it's that, whatever. And keep in mind that we've had a long day, we're tired, and it was, you know, it was just kind of going on. And we're like, yeah. And I was like, play Bad Dance.
Yes.
And then they cut to a commercial, or, you know, a little thing about, you know, Prince, blah, blah, blah. And then immediately they come back like, nah.
And Dave and I just lost
here.
Dave and I lost our crap. We're like, oh my God.
We gotta go. We gotta hit the casinos.
We gotta go to a casino now.
Unfortunately, then I was like, play Go Crazy. And that
didn't pay off.
That took another 2 hours to pay off.
Yeah, that took another 2 hours to pay off until Dave was like, one dad, she's like, play Go Crazy. And they Go Crazy started. And Dave goes, it's not as cool.
It doesn't count. It doesn't count. I've been doing it for 2 hours. It doesn't.
The Bad Dance thing was literally like, play Bad Dance. And it was like, Bad Dance. We were like, oh my God, this is amazing.
This is amazing.
Oh, man.
And then we stopped at Walmart. Because you had to pick up some stuff.
I had to pick up some...
And I was like, can we go look at toys? You're like, no. And I'm like, I'm going to go look at toys anyway.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, fine.
Well, because part of it was, at the show, I saw someone, a customer, had a bag. And as I looked over, he had the new 4-inch Black Series in the bag. And I'm like, oh, I guess those are out. And I never saw the dealer that had them, which is a shame, because I would have probably dropped $40 on a Phasma just to get it over with.
Yeah.
But so I was kind of like, we're here at Walmart. There's new Walmart stuff out. Can I please go look? And I found the other thing that nobody had, which was the Tanuka? The stupid Maz Kattana
set
that basically is like a bunch of toys you already have and one figure you don't.
Yeah.
But of course I bought it.
Of course. Because you needed that Maz figure.
Apparently that might be the only way you get her. And that's then true. It's got the box that Anakin Skywalker mysteriously and for no good reason was in.
Yes.
His lightsaber, yeah.
I was like, wait, and Anakin was in that box? Crazy.
Maybe.
Crazy.
And then I finally got home, and FS 4.4 was waiting on my doorstep,
because
it had been a half an hour since I got a new toy.
I know, right? You're like, ooh, new toys.
Yeah, Carrie brought it in. It was inside the house.
Yeah, she had mentioned, she's like, yeah, Dave got a box. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, because I had left Tracy with the remote control. She was like, can I have the car door? You know, garage door opener when you're gone. I'm like, yeah, I suppose. So she probably didn't see it.
No. Oh, my goodness.
So anyway, the next day.
Then on Monday, I saw a post in one of the toy groups where somebody was actually like, somebody was like really excited. Like, I went to King County for the first time. It was great. And another guy starts complaining. He like wrote this like almost thesis about how, you know, oh, that show is just 90% overpriced and 10% junk. I didn't find anything. And I was just like, I was taken aback, and I had to post something on my own wall. And it's like, how do you go to that show? What are you looking for to not have found anything to buy? Like, what are you looking for, and what prices are you looking for them at that you're just like, oh, what a waste of money. It's all garbage. I'll admit, there was some garbage there, but I'll be honest, there was a lot of nice pieces. That is not the show. It's not a flea market. I think people...
No, that was one thing that came up in the comments. It's not a flea market.
It's not a flea market. And Dave and I talk about great deals, but then again, Dave and I are not buying toy lines that... You know, Dave bought some Droids figures this show.
I got a carded Kia Mall for under $100.
Yeah, for under $100, which is a good deal. But
that's a good deal.
Yeah. And the problem with these people is, and like I said, Dave and I talk about the deals we found, and Danny's been on the show talking about the deals he's found as well. And there are deals to be found. You have to dig for them. And that was Danny's comment, was people go to the show expecting to walk into a booth and find everything they've ever wanted for under $5 and have this marvelous tale, but the fact is these guys go and just like glance at a booth and like, that's all garbage. We actually have to go into the booth and actually dig around the booth to find the gems in the booth. And yes, there's work involved. There's work involved with everything. And if you're going to expect all of these amazing things to be found for no work involved in it, you're doing it wrong, man.
Yeah.
Like, Dave and I are at that show, and Danny, too, are at that show for probably close to 4 hours.
Oh, every year. At least.
And what people don't... I mean, we talk about the show, and what people sometimes fail to realize is that there's a lot of work involved in that show, which is why people have suggested us filming at the show, and that's why Dave and I are always like, we go to that show to shop.
To have fun, yeah.
That's why we go to that show, but we also go to that show because we're already working at that show to begin with, because you have to go into every booth, and you have to dig around every booth to see everything. Because if you don't and you miss something, you're going to be like, well, I didn't see that. And somebody else is going to be like, well, I found it. And it's like, well, crap. Why didn't I see that?
Well, it's like those Star Wars Black figures. Like, somebody had them because they bought them there, and I never saw them.
Yeah. So, and there's booths that Dave and I even missed seeing everything.
Because, I'm sure, yeah. Well, there were, especially a lot of the early ones, because the crowds were so, you know, once you get a bunch of people in that thing, you just kind of go, okay, I'll go to the next one.
Yeah, go to the next booth, I guess. But yeah, that just frustrated me, and I think it's just the old man coming out of me that I'm just like, really? How do you go to that show and think it's all over, like 90% overpriced and 10% junk? Like, yes, there is some overpriced stuff there. But if you don't do the work and talk to people and try to figure out if they'll go any lower on some of that stuff, because some of that stuff you can get, like that E.T. card box I had, guy had $75 on it. He wanted $75 for it.
Wasn't even a complete set.
Well, but the thing, well, I mean, it was a complete box, but I mean, he had $75 on it, which is probably a decent price for a full box of ET cards from 82.
Yeah.
But when I saw it the first time we went through PEC, and I didn't bite on it because I'm like, ugh. When I went back and was looking at it, he's like, oh, you're interested in the ET box? I'm like, eh. He goes, $20. And I was like, oh, yes.
Like I said, man, not literally the first table, but I mean the first table that I kind of slowed down and looked at, the guy was cutting me prices on these G.I. Joes. Just, I didn't even ask. It's just like, for you, $20. I'm like,
some of those guys,
I was like, I would have bought it at 40.
The other complaint the guy had was the fact that the dealers had bought up all the good stuff Saturday.
They probably have,
and put it on their tables and priced it up more.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Then go Saturday.
Yeah, then go Saturday. Bucks. But the other thing he was complaining about is like, and then they've got the hotel sales where the dealers are in there all weekend and they're just buying up stuff and there's nothing left good, so why go to that show? Well, there's a lot of dealers that don't set up in the hotel and set up Saturday or set up Sunday morning before the show opens.
But why do you think the dealers are buying... Why do you think they're doing that? They're doing that to get stuff to sell.
Yeah, they're doing that to get their good stuff to sell, so their trip is paid off.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys...
I mean, yeah, okay, some of them take that stuff home. I mean, some of them are collectors, too, but I mean...
Yeah. Some of those guys, like, a lot of those dealers come from, like, New York.
Yeah, there were a lot of, like, great pieces out there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
I mean, and yes, like we said, the prices on some of the stuff was high. Some of it was priced accordingly.
Yeah.
You know? But there were still so many deals to be had. And I never think about that going to that show that, oh, I don't know why we're going, all the good stuff's probably gone. Dude, I find good stuff every show. I mean, for God's sake.
Well, sakes, I mean, I always push, like, I want to go Saturday so we can get the really, really good stuff.
Right.
And Floorburger's always like, nah, you're not missing anything.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you're lying. Yeah. You're a jerk and you're buying it all for yourself, you monster.
But if you think about it, those guys are trying to set up Saturday, and then they got guys trying to shop them. And
I have no pity for these people. They're making money off of my
The thing is...
feeding their children off of my blood, sweat, and tears.
I go back to the, you gotta work at those shows. You gotta make... You gotta attempt to talk to these dealers and to discuss things with them and try to have pleasant conversations. I mean, my Grail piece came out of a King County show. Yes, it was not on the floor at King County.
No.
Technically, it came from a King County show.
You were doing your Duvall thing, running your mouth with somebody.
Yes.
Worming your way into their little lives and getting to know them. And you got this incredible Grail piece. Like, you got a Grail piece plus.
Yeah.
There's extras.
Yeah.
And you got it. I don't know if you even are wanting to talk about what you got it for, but you got it for a really
price you probably won't see another complete one at that price ever.
No.
Let's put it that way.
No. You got an amazing deal.
Yes.
Like, all things considered.
And that wasn't even a deal I initiated. That was them going, we need at least this much for it. And me going,
hold it for me.
I'll take care of it. And that was something, too, when I brought it home.
Yeah, you got in trouble, didn't you?
No, not at all.
Oh, I thought she yelled at you.
No, she did not yell at me. She knew I had it the night before because she
was like. She yelled at you then.
No, she never yelled at me. She never. I thought she was mad at me. Because she wasn't answering texts.
You said she was mad at.
Turns out it's because our phones don't get any service in our own dang house, so she didn't see them. Plus, all the animals were sleeping, so she's like, even if you were calling, I'm not going to answer because everyone's sleeping. I don't want to ruin it. I'm like, fair enough. I know that feeling. Yeah. But she, on Sunday, had been like, she's like, how much did that cost? And I was like, I've been working on this since last October. And I'm like, I'll be honest. I'm like, I sold a lot. I sold quite a bit of stuff to afford this. I'm like, but it's not as much as we had talked about. And I told her, I told her how much I pay. And she's like, all right. She's like, I understand. Because, again, even she was like, because she's known how much those things go for.
Right? I would imagine she's heard more. If you know, she lives with you. I hang out with you once a week, and I've heard about this stupid thing. So, yeah.
But, man, that's the story of the show is that if you don't do your work, you don't find stuff like that. You just don't find it.
And, again, man, I didn't even do any work, and the guy
throwing deals these huge.
Yeah, like I got at least two really good deals. Like, I really didn't even have to bother.
No, not at all.
Too hard. Because I got the Kia Mall and the G.I. Joes.
Yeah.
Like, they were willing to, like, cut deals on those.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh,
yeah. So I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll take it. That, you know, the guy's like, $75. I'm like, that's a good price. He's like, it's a good price. I'm like, I know. I'm buying it.
Here, I'm going to take it.
I can't get one loose on eBay for that price.
But, yeah, it was a good show. I look forward now to the October show. What's sad is I wish Carrie could have gone to this show. Because I can't tell you how many dealers I saw with just totes and totes full of McDonald's toys that she would have just been in heaven. And I tried to dig through some of them, but it's so much harder without her here.
Or there,
without her there to help dig through those totes that I kind of just, I couldn't, I was like, I don't even know without her to sit here on the floor with me and start going through this tote. I always see stuff like that there that I think she would just love to see in person, so it's that'll be kind of fun to take her to that because she really wants to go to that show. She's like, I really want to go. Problem is she can't. She can't go overnight because of the animals and you know.
I don't know.
Yeah. So you know that feeling all too well.
I kind of do. Yeah. To be fair, I do.
So the
fall. My dog was technically sick.
Yeah, it's true. But you had people.
I could have kenneled her. I don't have any necessarily. Well, there was an incident the last time. So, yeah, no, yeah. And I really, again, like, you know, Carrie and Tracy Ann really, really stepped up.
Yes.
And I laid it on thick to poor Tracy. I'm like, you realize, this dog means more to me.
Yes.
I'm leaving you with the most priceless thing in my entire house.
Yes.
She's like, no pressure.
None. Yeah.
And it's sick.
Yes. So, yes.
So, yeah.
All eyes are on you.
And it's the worst time of the year because you have to watch it like a hawk.
Yep.
And they, you know, she actually woke us up with a...
Oh, my God. Like,
oh, come on. It's 6 o'clock.
6 in the morning.
Oh, the alarm was set for 6:30.
Oh, my God. I was sleeping so good, though.
You're a baby.
I was sleeping so good. And then Dave's phone goes... Bah, 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 bah. I went, ah.
And I'm like, oh, my dog's okay. I'm happy.
I literally went, ah. Because I was like, what's happening?
It's like, what time is it? It's like 6 o'clock. Oh, my God. The alarm's set for 6:30. You're a baby.
Yeah, and then I laid there for a little bit. I was like, well, might as well get up. I got to poop, so.
Yeah.
It'll be 6:30 by the time I'm done.
pretty much it was.
Yep, so, dang it. Well, there you go, guys. That's going to wrap up the show for David and I this week. We'll be back next week with fan questions and...
Hooray.
Hooray. our normal shtick. Make sure you check us out. Go to iTunes. Go to iTunes and Stitcher. Look up Toy World Order. Check out all the podcasts there to hear the entire back library of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles and Married to the Collection, though. You got to go to ToyWorldOrder.com. There's a search bar at the top right. You just type in Dave and Duvall's or type in Married to the Collection. You will find the entire run of both shows, the almost 50-plus episodes of Married to the Collection, the well over 200 episodes of Dave and Duvall's. Everything is there at your fingertips to listen to, to download to.
Are we on like 220?
Oh, yeah. We're closing in on it. And if this isn't 220, we are pretty darn close.
Yeah.
But you can download them to your device. You can listen to all the shows there, so make sure you do that. Check that out. Make sure you go to youtube.com/toyworldorder. Hit subscribe. Mash the like button. As the puppet likes to say. Mash the like button. Every time you get a new subscriber, if you tell your friends and they subscribe, Puppet Duvall gets a new thing of cheese. Subscribe. So Puppet.
Do it.
Oh, Puppet.
Do it.
I'm trying to do the Emperor. Apparently you can't go from the Puppet to the Emperor.
No, not well.
No, not well.
So make sure you subscribe to us and tell your friends. Mash the like button. Check out our sponsor, Shellhead Comics, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at shellheadcomics.com. Go their way. Send them love from us and check them out. And gag until next week, David.
You don't have to go home, but you can stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. A peace out.